Welcome to the Sableton Live 12 lesson on building a junglist pad layer for that 90s inspired darkness, perfect for jungle and old school DNB vibes. In this one, we're not making a shiny, cinematic pad that floats politely on top of a track. We're building a sampled, gritty, fobby atmosphere that sits behind the break, supports the bass, and gives the tune that late night warehouse energy. Think shadows, tape hiss, worn edges, and just enough harmonic tension to make the drums feel even harder. The big idea here is simple. In jungle, a pad is not just a sound. It's part of the story. It can hide edits, add emotion in the breakdown, and make the drop feel bigger by contrast. So we want something functional first, musical second, and pretty much never too polished. Let's start with the source. Pick something that already feels like a sample. A dusty chord stab, a Rhodes fragment, a string hit, a chopped atmospheric loop, anything with character. If it sounds too clean and modern at the start, that's okay, because we're going to rough it up. Drag that audio into Ableton, and keep the region short. Usually 1/2 bar to 2 bars is enough. We're building a texture bed, not a full chord progression. Now, for the authentic jungle feel, load that clip into Sampler on a MIDI track. Classic mode is a great place to start. If the timing allows, try turning warp off so it feels a bit more raw and sample-like. Trim the start so the musical part hits immediately, and use tiny fades to avoid clicks. If the source is a chord stab, don't overcomplicate it. Sometimes just holding one or two notes is enough to get that dark, ghostly pad energy. For voices, keep it simple. One voice can give you a monophonic, tape-ish feel. 4 to 8 voices can thicken it up if you want a more layered chord bed. And if the sample feels too bright or too high, transpose it down a few semitones. That low mid weight is part of the jungle mood, but don't bury it so low that it collides with your sub. Now let's talk harmony, because this is where the vibe really happens. Dark jungle pads usually work best with minor, suspended, or ambiguous voicings. You're not trying to announce the chord like a big euphoric trance track. You're implying harmony. A minor seventh feel, a suspended second or fourth, or even just partial notes from the chord can sound way more authentic. Leaving out the roots sometimes is a smart move too, because then the bass line gets to define the real center of the track. If your tune is around 170 BPM and you're working in something like a minor, a simple tension loop can carry a lot of weight. The point is to keep it moody and slightly unresolved. That unresolved feeling is a huge part of old school jungle atmosphere. Next, clean up the low end right away with EQ8. This is important because pads can ruin your drum and bass mix fast if they're allowed to sit too low. Put a high pass filter around 180 to 300 Hz as a starting point, and go higher if the sample is muddy. If the sound has boxiness in the low mids, pull a little out around 250 to 500 Hz. If there is brittle hiss up top, tame that gently instead of boosting brightness everywhere. The goal here is not to make the pad thin. The goal is to stop it from fighting the kick, the snare, the sub, and the bass line. In DNB, the pad should live in the atmosphere zone, mostly mid-range and upper mids, not in the low-end territory. Now add some character with saturator. A little bit of drive goes a long way. You're aiming for worn tape, sampled grit, a slightly degraded edge. Start with just a few dB of drive, turn soft clip on, and match the output so you're not fooled by volume. This helps the pad feel less sterile and more like it belongs in a 90s jungle record. After that, use auto filter to shape movement. A low pass or band pass setting works especially well here. Start with the cutoff somewhere in the mid to upper range and automate it gently. Open it a little in build-up moments, close it down for darker intro sections, and keep the moves subtle. Big filter sweeps can sound too modern or too obvious. We want tension, not a dance music cliche. If the source needs even more sampled character, place the saturation before the reverb so the reverb is reacting to a dirtier signal. That often gives you a more authentic, horn halo around the sound. Now let's widen the pad carefully. This part is a little dangerous in DNB, because too much width can smear the groove and make the drums feel weak. Use chorus ensemble lightly, or use utility to manage the stereo image. The idea is to let the pad bloom around the center, not swallow the entire mix. Always check mono compatibility. If the pad disappears or gets weird in mono, reduce the width and simplify the modulation. A really solid chain at this stage could be EQ8, then saturator, then chorus ensemble, then reverb. That's a good starting point for a dark, sampled atmosphere. For reverb, keep it practical and dark. Use a decay time somewhere around 1.2 to 3.5 seconds, with a bit of pre-delay so the attack stays clear. High cut the reverb so it doesn't turn into shiny wash, and low cut it so it doesn't muddy the low end. If you want a cleaner workflow, Use a return track for the reverb instead of inserting it directly on the pad. That gives you more control over how much space you send in different parts of the arrangement. A subtle delay can also work really well if the pad wants some ghostly rhythm around the break. Keep the feedback low and filter the delay so it doesn't clutter the groove. In jungle, space is good, but only if the drums stay sharp. Now we get to one of the most important parts, automation. A jungle pad feels alive when it moves with the track, not when it constantly changes notes. Automate the filter cutoff, the reverb send, maybe a touch of saturator drive for a lift, or the utility gain for small tension dips before the drop. You can also automate the sample start position a little if you want some organic drift. A good move is to slowly open the filter over an 8-bar intro, then pull the pad down a little, maybe 1 to 3 dB, right before the drop. That makes the drop feel bigger without needing more notes or a louder sound. Another classic move is to cut the pad for half a bar before a switch up, then bring it back filtered and widened. Small changes like that really sell the arrangement. And that leads us to placement. Don't treat the pad like a lead. Treat it like a support layer. In the intro, let it live alone or with distant break hits. In the first drop, keep it tucked lower so it glues the mid-range without getting in the way. In the breakdown, open it up a bit more and let it carry some emotional weight. In the second drop, you can bring back a slightly darker or more degraded version, so the arrangement feels like it's evolving. That's a very DNB approach. Make each section feel different through texture, not just louder. Once it's working, bounce it to audio. This is a really useful move in sampling-driven jungle production. Printing the pad lets you commit to the character, edit it faster, reverse the tail, slice it into stutters, or build transitions from it. You can reverse a pad swell into a snare fill, chop it into quarter note hits, or duplicate it and low pass one version more heavily for the intro. Once the texture is printed, it becomes part of the arrangement language instead of a floating idea. A few things to watch out for here. If the pad has too much low end, high pass it more aggressively. If it washes out the break, shorten the reverb and reduce the stereo width. If it sounds too modern, add a touch more saturation and use a more chopped, resampled workflow. If it starts competing with the bass line, carve out the 200 to 600 Hz area and shorten the sustain. And always keep an eye on the snare, because in jungle the snare is the emotional anchor. If the pad masks the snare crack or body, pull it back. Here's a useful way to think about it. The pad can do three jobs. It can hide edits between sections, add emotional weight in the breakdown, and make the drop feel larger by contrast. Design it with one of those jobs in mind first, then shape the tone afterward. That mindset keeps you focused and stops the pad from becoming random atmosphere. If you want to push it further, try making two versions of the same pad. One version can be dark, narrow, and filtered for the drop, while another can be wider and more open for the breakdown. Or create a ghost layer by duplicating the pad, pitching it up an octave, and filtering out the low end hard. That can add eerie shimmer without sounding glossy. You can also try a reversed swell version for transitions, or a slight pitch drift to make the pad feel like a worn tape loop. Keep it subtle though. In this style, instability should feel haunted, not wobbly. Quick practice challenge for you. Spend 15 minutes making one dark jungle pad from a sampled source. Load it into Sampler, make a 1 or 2 bar loop, high pass it, add light saturation, shape it with auto filter, send it to a dark reverb return, automate the cutoff over 8 bars, and resample the result to audio. Then slice that bounce into two versions, one for the intro and one for the breakdown or second drop. The success test is simple. Mute the pad and listen to the track. If the drums and bass still work, but the whole tune feels flatter, then the pad is doing its job. That's exactly what we want. So remember the core recipe. Start with a sampled source. Keep the harmony dark and ambiguous. Clean the low end. Add subtle grit and movement. Control the reverb. Automate sparingly, and resample once it feels right. Do that, and you'll have a junglist pad layer that brings real 90s darkness to your Ableton Live 12 productions, without stepping on the kick, the snare, or the sub. Proper atmosphere, proper weight, proper old-school energy.